Hello and welcome to another all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro. It's the first week of Advent, and as I record this on Giving Tuesday, I'm thinking of all the great organizations that do so much to make a difference in the lives of so many. I hope that you were able to support those that are close to your heart. And I'd like to especially feature Mary's Meals, an organization that provides more than 3 million children a day in some of the poorest communities with a nutritious daily meal at school. If you're still looking for an organization to support, consider Mary's Meals, marysmeals.org. In the coming weeks, we're going to be learning more about Mary's Meals and the wonderful work that they do, as well as featuring other great projects, initiatives, and organizations, and some great Catholic singer-songwriters. So that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. But today, we also have a great show for you.
Namely, you have to be Catholic, somebody who takes their faith seriously. Number two, you have to hold a position of leadership in your organization. If you're a business person, it could be the CEO, the president, the owner, or in a large business, perhaps the head of a division.
Okay.
That kind of thing. So somebody who's got a serious leadership position and is responsible for a certain threshold of either payroll or revenue as a company.
That's our guest, Nicholas Pappalardo, speaking about Legatus, a ministry that supports Catholic business leaders. We're going to be speaking with Nicholas Pappalardo and learning all about Legatus in about 5 minutes, so don't go anywhere. And right after that, Billy Chan is back with Church for Dummies to ask a question about hell. That's in about 20 minutes. And then...
in the midst of a lot of unknowns, I think in my own personal life, in our family life, big family, lots of going on, in the midst of our, I live in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Minneapolis. There's a lot that's happened in our community over the last 3 months, just different tragedies of all sorts. And then in the world, there's just so much that feels uncertain, unknown. And yet, even as an infant child, Jesus Christ, nothing surprised. He was not surprised. God knows it all, and he knows what we're going through, and he's the king.
That's Luke Spihar, who's been on our program several times. Luke has a few new singles that he wanted to share, and so we're going to be speaking with him in our second half hour and also learn what's new with him. That's our featured artist today, Luke Spihar, in about 25 minutes. And so, to get us in the mood, here he is with a song about creating memories with your family. Sweet Memories by Luke Spihar.
Let's go back for a moment in our minds to a time when the world was smaller, only us five. Mom and Dad were our everything, the king and the queen. And despite any struggle we had, all we could need, run to the fort we built in the ironwood tree. Swing from there all day long, what a sweet memory, such a sweet memory. Wherever I've been, the thought of us brings shall avoid the waves or the tide shall rise and fall. But that's what makes the times we laugh and cry sweetest of them all. The sweetest of them all. And when we are old and gray, many years from now, and if our memories have gone away, Lord, I pray that you allow just a few of the sweetest times to remain.
We're listening to Luke Spihar with his single Sweet Memories. And we're going to be speaking with Luke Spihar in about 20 minutes, so stay tuned. Domino's Pizza and Ave Maria University founder Tom Monahan knows firsthand how important it is for Catholic business leaders and CEOs to be supported in their faith. He also understands the importance of spreading Catholic values through the business world. That's why he founded Legatus 40 years ago. With 95 chapters across 38 continental states and 3 international locations, and more than 5,500 members, Legatus inspires and encourages its members through prayer, fellowship, and professional growth. To learn more, I recently spoke with Legatus member Nicholas Papalardo.
Well, Nico, thank you for joining us today. It's good to see you again.
Well, it's my pleasure, Pedro. Always a pleasure.
So Legatus, support group for business leaders, professionals. How would you describe Legatus in your own words?
Yeah, Legatus is an organization that was really established by a Catholic business leader for Catholic business and professional leaders that they could seek support through fellowship. We gather once a month. We have meetings that always begin with the sacraments, opportunities for confession, rosary, the mass. Then we invite interesting speakers who come in and help edify us and inspire us.
Okay, so how did you find out about it?
Legatus was known to me even back in law school.
Oh, really?
I mean, I went to Ave Maria School of Law, also founded by Tom Monahan. I heard about it again maybe a couple of decades ago in Toronto. I know that there was a group that had been meeting at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently I was approached by a couple of different people who told me it was a chapter was starting back up again locally and that I might be interested.
So then you, at the time and when you were in law school, did you think, oh, this is a group that I would like to join? Like I was just interested in knowing kind of what went through your mind when you first heard about it.
No, I think any serious-minded Catholic is going to look for ways to live out their faith through their vocation, okay. Right? And in the case of, you know, a professional vocation, you know, I went to law school, but then I worked in government.
Yeah.
And for the last 8 years, I've been running a family business. You look for opportunities for support when you're facing particular challenges, you know, ethical challenges, even just looking for best practices.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at how you can apply the faith in the workplace, right? Meaning how you can live out the values of Catholic social teaching as a business person, as a professional. And Legatus gives you a group of peers, right? Who are legates or ambassadors for Christ, right? In the marketplace and in the real world.
Okay. I'm glad you said the word legate. So is that's the connection? That's why it's called Legatus? That there's a
Legatus means ambassador.
Okay.
Right? And the idea is that...
Like a delegate.
Yeah. Exactly. So the legate is an ambassador for Christ. The member of Legatus is called the legate.
Okay. So again, to clarify, so it's a... Is it fair to say that it's a support group? Like you're not fundraising for the church. You're not... Like,
that's right.
It's not something that business leaders are doing for the church, rather something the church is doing for business leaders.
Yes. So Legatus is not intended to be kind of a fundraising group. I'm sure many members of Legatus have ongoing charitable activities and different projects. I certainly have my own, you know, outside of work that we like to give back. But it's essentially a forum for Catholic business leaders to have a peer group and also have support, but also be nourished to study the faith, to learn kind of, and to receive formation, right?
And why is that something that you can't do like in your parish? Like, why is there something unique or special to be with peers or other business leaders? Because you could be like with the Knights of Columbus or some other organization and still get the same kind of support as a Catholic, no?
Sure. So, you know, my wife and I are part of a movement for married couples, mm-hmm. right? A Catholic lay movement for married couples. And we receive a certain kind of support in that. We have, you know, you might be a lawyer and be part of the, you know, the Thomas More Society.
Right.
But when you hit a certain level of leadership and you get to a certain point, you're looking for peers who are facing the same challenges as you. And you want to be able to talk about that.
Okay.
You know, maybe you are involved in a particular segment of the marketplace that's facing new government regulations that are contrary to Catholic teaching.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're looking for people that you can trust that'll to talk to in order to kind of discern the best approach or way forward.
Mm-hmm. So then that implies that the Catholic Church has something to offer in the realm, the world of business leadership.
It certainly does. I mean, I think Pope Leo XIII recognized that.
Yeah.
That's right. And of course, one would assume that the 14th and all the popes in between as well. You know, the Compendium of Catholic Social Teaching has plenty to say about the dignity of work, the mm-hmm. dignity of the worker, right? And I think that's an important thing, that we can actually live out our faith by providing goods and services to our customers, but then also treating our workers as human beings and our businesses and organizations as communities of persons.
Right.
They have their own dignity and their own needs and need to be supported.
Right. So you're learning, because you also said that there are, when you have gatherings, there might be a teaching, learning about Catholic social teaching as it might pertain to your area of work.
So there are a number of activities that Legatus offers and programs and benefits. One of the things is, of course, a monthly meeting. What organization doesn't love a monthly meeting? So you, again, dinner, sacraments, and a great speaker.
Okay.
Could be, you know, a nun telling us about Catholic education, or it could be a business leader, people coming in to give typical kind of leadership talks or tackling specific issues.
Mm-hmm.
We also have conferences that happen internationally and nationally, and then also pilgrimages. So there are also benefits for the children and grandchildren of Legatus members. For example, your children or grandchildren might be looking for an internship with another company that's led by, you know, a respected Catholic person, and you'd feel more comfortable maybe sending your kids to learn both, you know, in an excellent environment and an excellent organization, knowing that they're also going to be looked after by somebody of character.
Yeah, of course. And I'd say that even for the members, that there's a networking aspect that's also probably very,
very
beneficial.
Yeah. Yes, very much so. So a member of a Legatus chapter can participate locally, but also if they're traveling and
would
like to attend a Legatus meeting in another chapter in another part of the United States, maybe you're in Florida, maybe you're in Chicago and New York, you're also welcome to attend those meetings as well.
Right. So there are chapters in all over the States, some in Canada and other countries.
And some members at large, yes.
Okay. So do you have to belong to a chapter? I suppose you have to belong. Like, how does it work? Yes. You have to belong to a chapter?
Yeah. So, you know, Legatus is an international organization with its presence mainly established in the United States, mm-hmm. a little bit in Canada, a little bit in Mexico, a little bit in Europe. And so you would join. So you could join as a member at large, or you could join as a member of a particular chapter. Once you find you really want to become part of a chapter.
Right.
And then that connects you with your peers. And then there are also various kind of subgroups within Legatus that are divided based on areas of interest.
Okay.
So maybe all the accountants, you know, can connect and network. So there's a platform
right.
you have access to, and I could reach out to other Legatus members, business leaders all throughout the network.
Okay.
For advice and possibly for other synergies.
Okay, good. And what are the, so you have to be a professional, a business? Like, how, what is the criteria? How do you decide whether this is for me or not for me?
So for those who are interested, I'd encourage them to visit the legatus.org website, where the membership criteria are generally defined.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, you have to be Catholic, somebody who takes their faith seriously. Number two, you have to hold a position of leadership in your organization. If you're a business person, it could be the CEO, the president, the owner, or in a large business, perhaps the head of a division.
Okay. Right?
That kind of thing. So somebody who's got a serious leadership position and is responsible for a certain threshold of either payroll or revenue as a company.
Right.
Of course, for professionals, there's a different formula. But again, you would be a leader. You would be a partner in your firm. The idea of the organization was to bring the leaders together.
Right.
And so there is there are thresholds there.
Okay. And I hate to ask this question, but I don't want people to think that it's like the Knights of Columbus. So it's not just for men. Is for business leaders, men and women.
That's correct. Okay. Is for business leaders, men and women, and their spouses.
Okay.
So the spouses automatically become members. And so we get to attend meetings and events with our spouses as well. And they get to share in that community. Then there are focus sessions for the you know, primary member, if you will. Perhaps, for example, a Legatus chapter might develop a forum where a smaller group of either men or women will gather and then share experiences and wisdom and insight on particular challenges.
Yeah. So maybe now that you've been a member, what can you share that you've received? Maybe a word of encouragement for someone that might be thinking, hey, this is for me. Like, what benefits have you received?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fairly new to Legatus, but right away, you know, I'm getting to know other Catholic business people and professionals mm-hmm. who are taking their faith seriously. And that's encouraging because we increasingly feel isolated today as Catholics, especially in a marketplace where, you know, you're not supposed to wear your values on your sleeve unless they're, you know, the short list of commonly accepted values.
Yeah. Were you surprised to see that there were so many other business leaders, professionals that were actually serious about their faith? Because we don't hear that.
I think there's a cultural difference between Canada and the United States. Oh. I think in the United States, business leaders are celebrated in a different way. And I think they'll tend to wear their accomplishments a little bit more proudly on their chest than on their sleeve.
Yeah.
And in Canada, both, I think, being a business person and, you know, who's achieved success, I think that the most successful Canadian business people I know are very discreet and quiet.
Right.
And prefer their anonymity.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a, you know, a layer of confidentiality at Legatus meetings, and you can go and feel comfortable that, you know, what you share there stays in the room, so to speak.
Well, that's good to know. What we've shared here will not stay in this room. Thank you, Nicholas, for sharing a little bit about this that I think is going to be very, very interesting for our listeners. So thank you for that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pedro.
Nicholas Popolardo is a Legatus member and the president and CEO of Stallport Corporation. To learn more about Legatus, go to legatus.org.
I'm Gabriel J. Maria from Hamilton, Ontario, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
We cannot do our work without your support. Visit us at slmedia.org and learn how to be part of our wonderful media ministry. And now it's time for
Church for Dummies
with Billy Chan, who has a hellish question.
Yes, I cannot imagine, you know, we have done this for like 8-9 years already. And
yes.
We never touched this question. This is crazy. This question is about, is a very famous question, actually. I think is one of the four very basic questions. I won't tell you which four, but anyway, I will talk about that. This one today is about, if God is good, mm-hmm. what purpose would hell serve in his plan? So why does he create heaven? I mean, create hell if he is good, if he's perfect.
Yes.
Why? That's it.
Yeah.
And that's the question.
No, it's a very good question. And it has a very short answer, because the short answer is that God did not create hell. Hell exists. So hell is not a physical place. Hell is a state of being, yes, eternally separated from God. Mm-hmm. So if God exists, the state of eternal separation would exist also. So what we can say, if you can say that God created something, we'd say that God created free will, because love, God is love. Love demands free will. You can't force someone to love you. So because of free will, human beings have the ability to reject God. And because we have free will, then that creates a space, a place, we call it, where we can be separated from God. So that's
okay,
the short answer.
So we do not like the short answer, definitely. You know, I think we know that. But we want to have something more detailed. Like if you said how is not a place, when we read the Bible, you know, we know that in the book of Revelation, we know we know that John actually described a little bit of hell.
And well, also, we don't know what he's describing.
Okay.
I mean, we don't know. And in fact, so the word Hades does not necessarily translate to our understanding of hell. It could mean more like a place like purgatory rather than hell. Mm. But we're not sure. So if that's what you mean. What the Catholic Church teaches is that hell is the state of being eternally separated from God. So if there was a place where people who reject God go, the place itself is not an evil place.
Yeah.
You know what? Does that make sense?
Okay.
There's evil because people have chosen to reject God. And that's it.
Yeah.
Short answer.
Okay, so it's still a short answer, but you know, it may not be describing hell in the book of Revelation, but in the Creed, you know, when we pray, we know that
yes, he descended into hell again.
Yeah.
Again. No, okay. But again, the reference to hell in the Creed may or may not refer to our understanding of hell as in that state of eternal separation from God. Because what we believe is that there were people, souls, that were stuck in a place where they weren't, because they were not able to enter heaven because Jesus had not come yet. So Jesus had to go. He opens the gates of heaven and he goes into this place. Let's call it Hades, or I don't know if purgatory is the actual equivalent, so that then he could bring those souls into heaven. I don't think that word that we use, it because it's translated from the Greek or the Latin. Mm. I don't even know what the word
the
would
Latin,
be.
The Latin, yes.
It's been translated to hell in English. And in fact, in Spanish, it's a plural word, los infiernos, that does not refer to a specific, like hell. So, but that's a good question. But again, the short answer is God did not create hell. Hell exists because God have the freedom, the people have the freedom to reject God. What the church teaches is that we don't know for sure that anyone is in hell.
Yeah. But in that case, where is Satan? I mean, is there, if there is a location, like, you know, we have heaven.
But again, heaven is not a location.
No,
we cannot. We can say it, but it's not. Heaven is also not a location. Heaven is a state of being eternally united to God. And so I would say that Satan is not in any physical place because it's not a physical world.
The question that is quite difficult to understand, to be honest. The reason is this. We saw a lot of pictures. We saw a lot of illustration on all the saints are singing beside God, beside Jesus, and Jesus is in heaven, and even it said Jesus is going to be on the right hand side of the Father, right? So
yes,
there should be some kind of space or some kind of like understanding of place that we know Jesus is there, the Father is there, but you know, but we cannot say that he's heaven.
No, and we can't say it's a... So we are physical beings, which is why we need those kinds of images, because we need mm-hmm. to understand place and physical place. I think that once you die, Billy, you will not need that understanding of a physical place, and you'll yes. understand. So all those images that have been offered to us, I think it's to help us understand. I even think that if we hear about Marian apparitions, that Mary mm-hmm. Allows the visionaries to see, you know, purgatory, or we've heard yes. stories of some saints that have seen images of hell. I think that what they see, it's also a part of what they can understand in their human with their human minds, but also in a way that can be explained to other human beings. So human beings need, that's what we have sacraments, right? We need material, physical yes. things to help us understand realities, but that doesn't mean that explanation is the fullness of the reality.
I totally agree, Pedro. I totally agree what you said, because because we have no time as well. Time
yeah,
is
exactly.
not, it doesn't exist in God's area, right? Or space.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
why when there's no time, that means there's no space. Time and space are exactly. very like related together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I would even say that maybe there is some sort of time and space, but not in the way that mm-hmm. we would understand time and space here. And the last thing I wanted to say was, this is kind of where I was going with, you know, we can't say for sure that anybody is in hell, because I would, you know, God is perfect love, perfect mercy, perfect justice.
Yes.
And God is going to do everything he can to bring everybody into heaven.
Save
That's
us.
What we have purgatory, right? To save us. So in that moment, like even if you've lived all your life completely far away from God, in the moment of being faced with God's perfect love and perfect mercy and perfect, like who would say no to that? Maybe. We still have the ability to say no. So I would like to think that maybe there is nobody in hell, because in that moment, nobody would say no to God. But we can't say that for sure, because the possibility exists. Again, we
so
don't
I will
understand
need to
these
ask
things.
All the listener to go back
yes.
to all the Church for Dummies and just to
listen to
everything.
Listen to everything and let us know where we went off the rails. But it's a good question. I think ultimately what matters to us is that God loves us. God wants to do everything to save us. And we do have free will. We can reject God. And most of the time we're rejecting God without even knowing that we're rejecting God, because we make little choices. So everything we do, we have to make sure that we're being drawn closer and closer and closer to God, to the point that we don't need anything except God. And when we get to that point, then you belong in heaven, because that's the only place where you will only be just together, united perfectly with God.
I will be so happy if that is true. Thank you, Pedro,
yes,
for the answer.
And I'll see you in heaven. Deal?
Oh, hopefully. I'll see you in heaven.
Hopefully. Okay, I'll see you in heaven. All right. Thank you, Billy Chan. Always
Thank
asking
you.
Good questions. You can send him your questions and answers and follow him at @BJoeChan.
As we prepare our hearts this season, there's a beautiful way to share Christ's love in a real and practical way. Mary's Meals brings daily school meals to children in some of the world's poorest and most remote communities, reaching more than 3 million children every school day. These meals don't just fill stomachs. They encourage children into the classroom, where they can learn, grow, and begin to climb the ladder out of poverty. If you're looking for a gift that reflects our call to serve with compassion, you can give one with true purpose. And the remarkable part, it costs just $31.70 to feed a child for an entire school year. It's a simple act that makes a profound difference. To learn more or offer a meaningful gift this season, visit marysmeals.ca and join us in bringing nourishment, dignity, and hope to children around the world.
Coming up in our second half hour, a conversation with our featured artist, Luke Spihar. So don't go anywhere. Welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro.
Oh, Holy Night, of course, is that beautiful meditation on the, it was when the Lord came, when he incarnated himself as in Jesus Christ. From that moment on, nothing was the same. You know, it was the whole world had been transformed by God becoming man. And that changed it all for all of us. And so I love that song because it just celebrates that. You know, fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. It's such a powerful song that celebrates, again, God coming into our plight to change it all for us.
That's our featured artist of the week, Luke Spihar. We spoke earlier this week, and he told us all about recording some Christmas songs. That conversation is just coming up. But before that, let's listen to that song that he's talking about. Here's Luke Spihar with his version of O Holy Night.
Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shall cease. Sweet hymn. when Christ was born.
That was Luke Spihar with O Holy Night. We first met Luke Spihar 12 years ago in 2014. Since then, he's been with us four times when we've spoken about his five albums. Luke is based in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and has a unique, earthy, honest acoustic sound. When we spoke this week, we spoke about some of his family's Advent traditions, and he gave me a really good activity idea to do with the kids during Advent. Before we started the interview, though, he told me he had just stepped out of a meeting, and so I suggested we should hurry up so that he could get back to work, and that took us in a whole other direction.
Yeah, get back to work. What does that even mean these days? So I with 2020, for so many artists, including myself, it was just such a hard stop. I mean, that year, I had 65 big events that were just canceled, just done. And so we had just had our third child, and so it was just this really intense time. I ended up pivoting a little bit to another project that I'd been in part of for years, actually like 5 years before that, 6 years, around supporting dads and fathers. And there was a kind of a local benefactor and kind of philanthropist. It was like, we just need to do more for fathers. I was invited to this meeting, and they were just like, what have you been thinking about? Like, what could we do? And I kind of laid out a bit of a dream, and they really wanted to see it happen. So they kind of fronted some of the money to start this effort up to support dads. And so through 2020, and then for pretty much till 23, which is when music started to really come back online for most of us, I was digging in doing this fatherhood, this nonprofit work that supports dads, and that's still kind of moving forward in great ways and expanding more than I ever thought. So I'm kind of still a part of that project. So I kind of have
that. That sounds wonderful. I mean, I'm completely not expecting to talk about that, but I'm so curious to know more about the kind of work you would do with dads and where people can even find out more. I guess is it a diocesan effort or is it national?
It's not national yet. You know, I think there's going to be interest. I think a lot of people know the deep need for good fathers out there. And we just kind of instinctually know that a good father just makes things better. And some of that comes from knowing if a bad father, you know, if you had a really bad experience with, that leaves deep, deep wounds. And if that's your case, you kind of, no one wants that for anybody, you know? So they're just kind of like, yeah, let's support more good fathers out there. So right now for us, it's a Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul effort in the local kind of urban area here. We're in four locations and it looks like we're going to expand out to quite a few more after next year. So the nonprofit itself is called AIM, Always Intentional. It stands for Always Intentional Man. And it actually got its name. I was going on a fishing trip with my dad, and I said, I have it kind of on my heart to start this nonprofit that supports, or to start this nonprofit. He said, well, what would it do? And I said, it's going to support men to be good fathers. And I said, I don't know what to call it. And he said, well, if you're going to be a good father, you always have to be an intentional man. And I just thought, what a cool, that sounds good. Always intentional man, and make that short and AIM. So that's... Anyway, that's kind of where I'd be headed next here. So,
right, just there, that is such good advice for not just men, for husbands, but as parents. You know, to be intentional is such a good advice. So then, just one last question about this: what kind of supports? Like, what kind of supports do you offer? Are there resources or is it meetings? How does this work?
Yeah. So the bulk of our programs are one-on-one, and.
Okay.
The model is to have certified life coaches who know our AIM programs meeting with these fathers one-on-one. We partner okay. through, the men come through the locations that we partner with. There's not really an AIM Direct. They're coming through these partnering organizations that we're serving.
Okay.
And so yeah, we really try to hold a high bar for the standard of care and have professionals meeting with these men. So it's certified mm-hmm. life coaches through ICF accredited life coaching schools, and just really have a kind of high bar for the way we're meeting these men and fathers. So it's, and most of it is one-on-one. We do have a Good Father group that we offer. So our core program is called the Good Father Program.
Yeah.
And that's that one-on-one life coach based. It's 8 sessions. Ultimately, the guy is
right.
really kind of becoming self-aware and figuring out, he's really figuring out how he wants to develop and cultivate really his family culture. So his core values, his mm-hmm. beliefs, how he wants to show up and stay healthy as a man. So it's one-on-one life coaching sessions. And then, we have a group offering and, mm-hmm. and then ongoing support, after they graduate the 8 sessions. So yeah.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because, I would have never known. So thank you for bringing that up. That yeah. is so important. And I hope as the organization grows, I hope to learn more about it. Maybe we can even yeah. Talk more about it in this program and promote it. Because I was going to start off by, you know, I was going to start off by saying, you know, Luke, welcome. It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
But then I was going to ask you what's new. So this is like a huge thing that's new that you've been doing since
yeah.
we last spoke in 2021. So AIM would have just been starting around that time.
Yep. Yep. We got our nonprofit status in 2022. So I had created Solace, okay. you know, I recorded Solace.
Yep.
That's which when was we last that.
Spoke.
Yep. And then I was kind of that the idea to start AIM was kind of in my heart, and that these benefactors kind of stepped up and said, "Hey, they didn't know me. I didn't know them. There was kind of a clarion call, and I came, and it's really interesting. How it all, it's very Holy Spirit.
How it all came together.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
That's usually how the best things get started, but thanks yeah. to the Holy Spirit. So last time we spoke about Solace, that was for people maybe are hearing about it for the first time, or if they don't remember, this was an album that you did your own arrangements of classic or traditional hymns, correct?
Yep, that was right. Yeah, these were the collection of yeah. songs that, for me, at you know, during 2020, 2021, those really such disruptive years were just giving me solace, just some peace, and the Lord was just, the lyrics of those songs are so, they stand the test of time. There's hymns in there that are 1,000 years old. So
they do. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And Solace was such a great title because, even for me, I remember it does. And I remember telling you that comfort was the word that I thought, but Solace is a better title for an album. Mm. But you know, it's like, it gives you comfort, you know, you feel like in a refuge, and it's because it's kind of that. It reminds me of like a nice home cooked meal, you know, it's like that kind of,
yeah,
that kind of solace, which also this time of the year reminds me of, tell us a bit about your family. So how many kids now?
Yeah. So 5, we have 5 children, and, I've got 4 daughters, and then we got a little, our baby boy came at the end, and we didn't know he was. You know, he came, and I was just, I kind of expected a 5th daughter, and I was really at peace with that. I'm like excited. And then this little baby boy came out. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've got a boy. It was so fun. I mean, I honestly, Deacon Pedro, just laughed. I would have been equally, I think, excited to have another baby girl, but I was just so surprised. And so baby yeah. Samuel. So he's,
yeah. Samuel, how old is he now?
About 1.5 now. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I bet you he's so spoiled. Make sure you don't spoil him. His older sisters are going to spoil him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're, how old, what's the age range? How old is your oldest?
So yeah, 10 years old down to 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. 5 of them in
wow.
there.
Wow. yeah.
I usually say 10, that, 10, that, 10 to 10 to 1.5 because I don't remember the middle one's ages. So I just, you know.
they're in there somewhere. That's crazy. So I was looking up, as I was preparing for our conversation, I was looking up. So the first time we spoke when we met was 2014. Mm-hmm. So that would have been, you were, I don't know if you were already married, but you were getting married, but no children yet. And like so much time has gone by. That's crazy. What a great season these 10 years have been for you.
So many big things have happened. In fact, my wife and I, when we celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary, we spent some time. We went on a retreat together, and one evening's full of conversation was just what all has happened in 10 years. Personally, as a couple, in our own community and in the world, just so much has happened in 10 years. And yes, and it has been an absolute roller coaster, and it's a joy ride in all ways. So
you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and we're speaking with our featured artist of the week, Luke Spihar. I asked Luke what Advent is like for his family.
We love Advent. I think probably our favorite church season, and liturgical season. I think partially because it has just so much hope in it. You know, I think Easter obviously has that deep hope, but the kind of narrative of the Christ child coming, as the seasons pivot, it gets a little darker. Everyone starts to just kind of settle in. Puzzles start to come out, you know, get on the puzzles. We love doing puzzles. And actually as a fun thing that we do, we really like to get kind of religious themed puzzles. So like maybe a nativity scene or the three wise men. And it's really interesting how it adds to kind of the meditation of the season. Like as you're slowly putting these pieces together and the images starting to come together, it's really fun. Like, and it kind of brings us, keeps it top of mind that it's the Advent season. So, and we got this kind of mat that rolls the puzzles up because there's no place.
Oh, where that's a puzzle, good. Yeah.
There's and people with young families know this. There's no place that's safe for a puzzle in a home with a bunch of kids. You know, that thing is everywhere. So we have this like mat that rolls the puzzle up in it, and it kind of keeps the pieces in place. And you kind of unravel it and kind of put it back on the kitchen table in the evening. So we and then we always enjoy doing kind of a nighttime prayer.
Yeah. That's always good. Yeah, I always enjoyed Advent with the kids as well because there's that anticipation. But there's something about the light, you know, like, and especially where you and I live, it's dark so early and the sun comes up so late, but it's still the season of light. Why did you want to record at least the two Christmas songs? We heard O Holy Night and we're going to hear What Child Is This at the end of the show. So other than those being great songs that I'm sure you'd do at concerts at this time of the year, but what was so special about those two songs?
So the most recent release there of What Child Is This, I just felt with that particular song, I was really caught up in this meditation of the kingship, the sovereignty, the lordship of the Lord, even as an infant, and that even as this child comes, is born, makes himself so incredibly vulnerable, even there, even then, he was still the Lord of the universe. He was the King of Kings, even as an infant. And I've just been caught in the wonder of that meditation of, he knows all, and he, nothing is surprising to the Lord. And in the midst in the midst of a lot of unknowns, I think in my own personal life, in our family life, big family, lots of going on, in the midst of I live in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Minneapolis. There's a lot that's happened in our community over the last three months. Just different tragedies of all sorts.
Yeah.
And then in the world, there's just so much that feels uncertain, unknown. And yet, even as an infant child, Jesus Christ, nothing surprised. He was not surprised. God knows it all. and he knows what we're going through, and he's the king. He is the king. And I think there's something there that needs, I just was connecting to that message that in the midst of the unknown, there is a king.
Yeah, I like that. And I mean, as a dad, I suppose that that's also part of, you know, very, you were just saying that when Samuel was born and you laughed, you know, you're probably thinking like, what child is this? You know, maybe you think of that with every child, you know, like what's going to become of our kids, you know, like, and there's that aspect. And I guess for us as well as children of God, do you have any, I mean, I think that you're always writing. Are there more songs that you're thinking of that are going to be coming in the next couple months or an album maybe in the works?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always dabbling with stuff. And I think, as a little more capacity comes into my life, I do hope, I mean, I'm really optimistic that more original music will come out. I have a few originals that are done already, and I'm just kind of thinking about how I want to put that together. I hope that these two songs you'd asked about, also O Holy Night, and that particular song, O Holy Night, you know, I hope these two songs are a part of a larger collection of Christmas song, a kind of Christmas album, Advent Christmas kind of album. But O Holy Night, of course, is that beautiful, you know, again, meditation on the, it was when the Lord came, when he incarnated himself as in Jesus Christ, and from that moment on, nothing was the same. You know, it was the whole world had been transformed by God becoming man. And that changed it all for all of us. And so I love that song because it just celebrates that. You know, fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. It's such a powerful song that celebrates again God coming into our plight to change it all for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it truly is, I think, one of the great worship songs, and we don't think of it as a worship song. And I love how all secular radio stations throughout this season, as much as it annoys me that they're playing Christmas music this early, but they're playing Christian music because they're playing songs like O Holy Night and you know, inviting us to fall on our knees and people don't even know what it's about, but it's there. So I love the sneakiness of God through the secular radio. Luke, I look forward to a Christmas album for Advent Christmas album from you. That would be fun. And it's been really good reconnecting with you. Thank you for telling us about AIM. I'm sure that'll be interesting for our listeners. And have a blessed rest of the Advent season and a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you so much, Deacon Pedro. As always, it's an honor to reconnect. And again, just thank you so much for all you're doing to support Catholic artists and keep the beauty and celebrate the beauty of music and the gift it can be for the whole world. So thank you so much.
You can learn more about Luke Spihar and purchase his music at lukespihar.com. And it's Spihar, S-P-E-H-A-R, lukespihar.com. And also you can follow him on your social media and listen to his music wherever you stream your music. Here now is Luke Spihar with his arrangement of What Child Is This?
What child is this who led to rest? Is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch a keeping. This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard. Son of man.
We're listening to Luke Spihar with What Child Is This? And that will take us to the end of our show today. Remember that the best place to support us is to listen to our programs. Download the Salt and Light Plus app and take us wherever you go. In the next coming weeks, we're going to be learning about some great organizations that are making a huge difference in the lives of so many, including the Yonge Street Mission in Toronto, and also Mary's Meals that feeds some 3 million children and schools around the world every day. You can learn more about their work and support them at marysmeals.org, or if you're in Canada, it's marysmeals.ca. Today, let's continue to pray for peace in the world, but maybe this Advent season, we can specifically pray for peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, and in our families. Let's pray for business leaders and CEOs, that they are supported and nurtured in their faith. And we pray for children who are hungry and for blessings on organizations like Mary's Meals who do great work. Let's pray for fathers who also need lots of support, for dads. And I pray for you during this time of Advent. I pray that this program has blessed you. Please pray for me and don't forget to pray for each other and take care of each other. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.